لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable brothers in attendance, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat ala Nabi. Peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one narration, Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala, the second Khalifa of the Muslims, the 40th Muslim in Islam, the 40th person to accept Islam, very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that inna du'a'a mawqufun bayna as-sama'i wal-ard, that indeed the supplication is suspended between the heavens and the earth. La yas'adu ilayhi shay'un minhu, nothing from that du'a ascends, hatta tusalliya ala nabiyyika sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until you send salat upon your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, a very knowledgeable scholar, very knowledgeable personality. He is saying that if you want your du'as to be accepted, then mention Durood Sharif in your du'as. And alhamdulillah, the scholars, they teach us about the etiquette of du'a, the adab of du'a. They say when you begin and commence your du'a, recite Hamd of Allah, the praise of Allah, glorify Allah, followed by Durood Sharif. And then throughout the du'a, from time to time, mention Durood Sharif. Conclude with Durood Sharif. Insha'Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, your du'as will be readily accepted, Allah willing. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The year was 61 Hijri. The month was Muharram al-Haram and the date was the 10th. The day was Friday, Yawm al-Jumu'ah. The pure family members of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم were being tested in the plains of Karbala. The exalted Imam, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, the leader of the Ahlul Bayt caravan, he radiallahu ta'ala an came before the Yazidi oppressors. Why did he come before them? For a final attempt to counsel them. Consider it a final warning for the enemies. Now, despite an army of approximately 12,000 standing before him, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala had no sign of fear on his face. He entered the field and warned the Yazidi army of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he warned them about the fire of hell that awaits them if they carry on. He said to them, I am Hussein radiallahu anhu, the grandson of your Prophet, the prince of the pure Sayyida Batul Zahra radiyallahu anha. Desist from this oppression. Stop this oppression. Do not destroy your hereafter by fighting us. At that time, it's narrated that there was a handsome and young brave man in the Yazidi army named Hur bin Yazid. Now his heart was already somewhat restless because he didn't like this idea of going to battle with the great Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And upon hearing this khutbah, this sermon of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, his restlessness increased further. He became so agitated that he could not remain in one place. He went to Amr bin Sa'd. Amr bin Sa'd was the commander of the Yazidi army. He went to him, if you fight the Imam, what answer will you give to the Messenger of Allah? If you go ahead with this evil intention and you fight Imam Hussein, How will you answer the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Amr bin Sa'd had no answer to this question. But alas, when the love of the world takes over the heart, no advice proves effective. So the advice that was given to him, to resist, to desist, to stop with this evil intention, fell on deaf ears. And this had no impact on Amr bin Sa'd either. Disappointed, Sayyiduna Hur rahmatullahi alayhi returned to the field. His body was trembling, his face was pale, signs of distress were clearly visible, and his heart was beating so loudly that even nearby soldiers were astonished. His brother Mus'ab was also present. He asked, "Brother, you are brave, a great warrior, and this is not your first time in battle. You've defeated many brave men. So what's the matter today? Why this restlessness?" Immersed in the love of the Ahlul Bayt and trembling with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, Sayyiduna Hur said, "The matter is that this war is against the Prince of the Prophet of Mercy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not against an enemy. Rather, it is a battle against my own hereafter. At this moment, I am standing between Paradise, Jannah, and Jahannam. The world is pulling me towards hell with all its power. This is why my heart is trembling." While these words were still being exchanged, the voice of the exalted Imam, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, echoed once more, saying, "Is there anyone who will sacrifice his life for the family of the Messenger today and attain success in the presence of the Prophet of the Universe sallallahu alayhi wasallam?" No sooner was this beautiful voice heard that Sayyiduna Hur rahmatullahi alayhi charged his horse. The Yazidi oppressors thought he was perhaps going to attack the Imam. But the matter here was entirely different. Sayyiduna Hur rahmatullahi alayhi presented himself in the court of the exalted Imam, dismounted, stood respectfully and pleaded, "O son of the Messenger of Allah, I am that same Hur who previously blocked your path. Please forgive my mistake and grant me permission to sacrifice my life for the Ahlul Bayt today." The exalted Imam Hussein radiallahu an accepted his apology and included him in his own army. When Mus'ab bin Yazid, the brother of Sayyiduna Hur, saw this scene, he too was moved. He also charged his horse and joined the pure army of the Ahlul Bayt. During the battle, these two brothers and one of their slaves fought exceptionally well. Sayyiduna Hur rahmatullahi alayhi alone sent approximately 40 Yazidis to the fire of hell. Finally, he fell after being wounded and advanced towards paradise after drinking the cup of martyrdom. Now here the brother of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahli Sunnat Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahma, Mawlana Hassan Raza Khan Rahimahullah writes, "When Sayyiduna Hur fell wounded, he called out to the exalted Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. Restless, the exalted Imam arrived, reaching his devotee while fighting off the Yazidis. He lifted Sayyiduna Hur from the field, brought him near the tents, and subhanallah, Imam Hussein placed the head of Sayyiduna Hur in his lap, affectionately wiping his forehead and cheeks. Sayyiduna Hur was still breathing. He opened his eyes, looked at the exalted Imam with a smile and pleaded, 'Master, are you pleased with me now?' The exalted Imam replied, 'Yes, I am pleased. May Allah also be pleased with you.' Sayyiduna Hur heard this glad tiding, and with it, his soul departed from his body." Now, dear viewers of Madin Channel, this account shows us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and gives tawfiq, a person is able to discern between haqq and batil, truth and falsehood, and he is given tawfiq to choose the truth, adopt the truth, despite the pressure, despite the situation being somewhat difficult, and in this context, greatly difficult. that Sayyiduna Hur was in the army of Yazid initially. But when he heard the khutbah and the powerful words of Imam Hussein radiallahu an, he felt he had no choice but to join Imam Hussein radiallahu an. That he is on the side of truth. There's only 72 of them. 12,000 Yazidis in opposition. We learn from this that it doesn't matter if those on the haq are little in number. What matters is what they stand for. The whole world can completely be on the wrong side. But if only a few people cling to the truth, that means that they are on the truth by the tawfiq of Allah. So we shouldn't look at numbers. We should look at usul, principles, and what the truth entails and where the truth lies as well. So Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, as we know, the scholars of Islam, the historians have said that he did not go towards Karbala with the intention of battle. Because think about it. If somebody has the intention of battle, why would he take the women folk with him? Why would he take youngsters and young children with him? Why did he take his 6-month-old child, Ali Asghar, with him? So, we learn that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala did not go with the intention of battle. Rather, he went with the intention of rectifying the Yazidis. That perhaps if I speak to them and I carry out Amrun bil Ma'ruf wa Nahyun anil Munkar, they will desist from their evil ways. But it was decided. This was fate, this was destiny. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had predicted and prophesied many years before that Imam Hussein will be martyred in the battle or in the plains of Karbala. There's so many lessons we learn. We learn about the patience of the great Imam. That one by one he saw his beautiful family members attaining martyrdom. But you will not find an instant of the great Imam in the battlefield of Karbala complaining, wailing for the sake of it. In fact, he stood like a rock. He was like a mountain in himself, a mountain of patience and perseverance. And this is what he taught the Ummah, that difficult times will come. Hardships will be faced in the dunya. But the one who is beloved to Allah is the one who remains patient and content with the will of Allah. And he waits for an opening. He waits for ease to arrive. And he doesn't wail, he doesn't mourn, he doesn't complain to people. This is the dars of Karbala and what we learn from the life and legacy of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Patience is a big thing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us and emphasized the importance of patience in these words. He said that the greatest level of reward is given in return for the greatest affliction that one suffers. The greater the level of affliction, the more reward one will attain in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when life comes at us with difficulties, when life tests us, we must stand firm as well. Throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about tolerating. And then he mentions the reward time and time again. In one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That it is only the patient ones who will be given the reward in full, in complete amount. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions how the true believers, those with perfect faith, that الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ, whenever a difficulty, an affliction arrives, affects them, what do they utter? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And just before this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will definitely test you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. That we'll definitely test you with something of fear, of hunger, of diminishing of lives, of wealth. وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ, of lives, وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, and fruits. And in the end he says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and glad tidings to the patient ones. Now if you look at Karbala And you look at this verse, we can say that every one of the things mentioned in this verse was applicable to the battlefield of Karbala. That Imam Hussein and his family members and his devotees, they were tested with something of fear. That was a situation that if anybody else was in their place, his heart would have shattered because of the fear. But Imam Hussein radiallahu an kept his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, when the verse talks about hunger, being tested with hunger, the pure Ahlul Bayt were not allowed to even drink from the river that was close by. They were not even given food and provisions. The verse mentions diminishing of wealth, of lives, of fruits, one by one, the family of Imam Hussein and his devotees attained martyrdom and they lost their lives. But they gave their lives for the betterment and the prominence of Islam. And this is why we mention them today, 14 centuries later. This is why we still speak about them. Their legacy is timeless. Until Qiyamah, whoever reads about the incident of Karbala, this, subhanAllah, refreshes their faith. This gives them a renewed sense of determination and perseverance. We learn so much from the life of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. And this month that we're in, Muharram al-Haram, before this incident of Karbala, as we know, it was already a very prominent month. It was a month in which many historical accounts took place, especially on the 10th of Muharram al-Haram. We know how Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel were saved from Fir'aun. We know how the Ark of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam attained salvation, arrived on Mount Judi. We know how other great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were saved from calamities. And then this ummah, when we think about the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram al-Haram, we consider all of those other things. We remember all of those other things. But of course, we also remember what happened in Karbala as well, as it was on the same day, the 10th of Muharram al-Haram. But just to, in the final part of the bayan, I want to mention some virtues of this blessed month, because some people are unaware. And if we are unaware, then that's our own fault. Because Islam has given us these beautiful teachings, Quran, Hadith. We have to learn about the significance of these months. So Muharram al-Haram is the first month of the Islamic calendar. The English calendar, January is the first month, right? After December. Here, Dhul-Hijjah al-Haram is the final month of the Islamic calendar. And Muharram al-Haram is the first month of the Islamic calendar. And the 10th day of Muharram al-Haram holds great virtue, of course. Now, on this day, it's mentioned in Sahih Bukhari that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself would observe fast on this day and he would encourage his noble companions to do the same as well. They would fast on this day as well. Now, remember, even before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived, as I keep emphasizing, this day already had significance. This day had significance already. Now, what's the benefit of fasting on the 10th of Muharram al-Haram? In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I hope from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal that the fast of Ashura erases the sins of 1 year before it. Erases the sins that a person committed in the previous year. What about performing good deeds on this day? Any specific invocations that we can read? There's one that's mentioned here. When the night of Ashura comes, perform this deed. Offer 4 nafal in every rak'at after Surah Al-Fatiha. Recite Ayatul Kursi once and Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times. After completing the Salah, recite Surah Al-Ikhlas 100 times. By virtue of this, you'll be purified from sins and will attain many great blessings in Jannah, in Paradise. Mishkatul Masabih, famous hadith book, it mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, one who spends generously on his children on the 10th of Muharram al-Haram Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will bless his sustenance, the Holy Ram. Sayyidina Sufyan Rahmatullahi Alayhi said, we acted upon this. We acted upon this blessed hadith and found it to be true, meaning found that the blessings mentioned were attained. Meaning it's mujarrab, that if you spend on your family members on the 10th of Muharram al-Haram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses your rizq all year round. Now, on this particular day, the 10 things, you might have come across this before, and if you did, it was better. Islamic scholars have said that 10 things are mustahab on the day of Ashura. Number one, keeping a fast. Number two, giving sadaqah, charity, on this day, the 10th of Muharram al-Haram, Yawm Ashura. Number three, offering nafal salah, voluntary salah. Number four, reciting Suratul Ikhlas 1,000 times. Number five, beholding Islamic scholars, ulama. Number six, stroking the head of an orphan, yatim. Number seven, to spend generously on your family. Number eight, to perform ghusl. Number nine, to apply kuhl, surma, ismid. And number 10, clip your nails. Number 11, pay a visit to sick people. And number 12, reconciling with those you've fallen out with. It says reconciling with enemies. Reconciling with people that you've fallen out with. That's also mustahab on the day of Ashura. And of course, on the day of Ashura, globally, worldwide, what we see is people, alhamdulillah, send rewards to the martyrs of Karbala. This is something we should do. Because our attachment and link and connection with the Ahlul Bayt is a very strong connection. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us the hukum regarding this. As I will mention a few narrations, inshallah. But on this day, the 10th of Muharram al-Haram, people cook food, they distribute drink, water, whatever they can, whatever is in their capacity, and they perform this Fatiha Niyaz and send the rewards to the martyrs of Karbala, Imam Hussein, his family and his devotees. Now, you can recite Quran, of course. If someone doesn't have the monetary ability, capacity, recite the Quran, recite Durood Sharif, recite Dhikr, Adhkar, Wazaif, send the rewards of that to the martyrs of Karbala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he loved his Ahlul Bayt. He loved Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala. In fact, there's so many narrations which tell us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would bring his grandsons close to himself and he would smell the fragrance that emanates from them. And he would say that huma rayhanataya min ad-dunya, that these two are my sweet smelling flowers in the dunya. He had so much love for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described his qurbah, his closeness with Imam Hussein, when he said that Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. Ahabba Allahu man ahabba Husainan. Allah Ta'ala loves the one who loves Hussein. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that whoever expresses love for Hussein, it's as if he is expressing love for me. Because he's my grandson. This is the meaning that he's connected to me, he's linked to me, he's close to me. So if you love him, you love me, naturally. And if you express enmity towards him, then you're actually expressing enmity towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And imagine, in the battlefield of Karbala, when Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an's blessed neck was severed, when the sword struck his blessed neck, that blessed neck that the Prophet alayhi salam would no doubt kiss, that Imam Hussein radiallahu an, whose anguish would cause pain to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. On one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam walked by the house of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he heard a voice that was crying, sounds of crying. And he said, who is that, O Fatima? She said, it's Hussein crying. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O Fatima, alam ta'alami anna bukaahu yu'dini. Do you not know that his crying pains me, causes me discomfort and harm? So imagine in the battlefield of Karbala, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed grandson attained martyrdom, and the sword struck his blessed neck. Imagine the pain that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt at that time. So we, alhamdulillah, as Muslims, as Sunni Muslims, adherents of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, we honor the great Imam. And all of these wrong interpretations of the battlefield of Karbala, the incident of Karbala that are conveyed to people, that the great Imam was after power, na'udhu billah, that he went to Karbala because he wanted the seat. What seat does he require? Imam Hussein was already told that in Jannah, you are the leader of all the youth in paradise. Him and Imam Hassan, what does he need from the dunya? So this is disrespectful towards the great Imam, and it's disrespectful towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. The only reason Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu went towards Karbala was to stand up to the falsehood that Yazid was spreading. Yazid was trying to legitimize the unlawful. He was a fornicator, he was an alcoholic. He was trying to make haram halal. He didn't offer his salah. And he was a transgressor of the highest order. And Imam Hussein, being the grandson of the Prophet alayhi salam, felt it was necessary upon him to confront Yazid. If he didn't, imagine what would have happened thereafter. How lightly people would have taken the laws of Islam. So alhamdulillah, despite giving his life in the way of Allah, we see that as a victory for Islam. Because he taught us about what Islam stands for. Islam is about acting upon the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we see wrong, as per the hadith, if we're able to change it with our hand, we do so. Otherwise, if we're able to change it with our voice, we speak out against it. Otherwise, at least we think of it as evil and bad in the heart. This is the lowest form of iman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to think of evil as evil in the heart. When you see bad, you can't change it with the hand, you can't change it with your voice, with your words, but at least think of it as bad. And we cannot let our iman become so low that we see people doing sins all around us and we think it's minor. That's their problem. Everyone's doing it. It's nothing bad. Na'udhu billah. May Allah never allow our iman to reach that level, where we start to think of bad as good, as fine, as normal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us for the sake of Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, and grant us the ability to extract lessons from the battlefield of Karbala and implement them in our lives for the betterment of our akhirah. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.